Well, it's been such a blessing today to have the Coxes with us. I appreciate so much the ministry of Brother David and for the work that he has been doing in Mexico City. Not an easy place to minister at all. Very difficult, but the Lord has blessed over the years, and we're looking forward for him sharing tonight the work there in Mexico City. So, Brother David, would you come, please?
Okay, if you have your Bibles, look with me. Turn with me to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Lord, we thank you for saving our soul, and Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask that you would help us. We focus on the Great Commission and our burden to fulfill that Great Commission, and Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. World missions was on God's mind from the beginning. You know, God saved us with a purpose. And that purpose focuses on us fulfilling the work of God. We read two passages. First one is in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is an entrance right into the local church. People should be baptized after they are saved. The only person or entity that has the right, the authority by God to baptize is a local church. So this is speaking about uniting people with a local church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. In Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, where in these two passages does it say only some Christians have to reach the world? Where does it say that it's an option that you can take or not take? God commands every single believer to reach the world. Now, of course, we can't leave here and go. If you leave here, then there's no witness here. So we understand, just like Paul and in the New Testament, Paul and some of those other people that were there, Barnabas, John Mark, they left as missionaries and some stayed there in that church where they came from. So we understand that this isn't talking about every last single person has to go into all the world and reach people, reach the world. What it talks about is our obligation before God to reach the world. That's where missionaries come in. I want to talk to you tonight about that obligation. We as individual Christians and we as churches have an obligation to reach the world, and we use missionaries to do that. The missionaries need to go out. They need to reach people. They need to continue the work of God. I don't know who this person is, but Johannan, K.P. Johannan, he said, a tiny group of believers who have the gospel keep mumbling it over and over to themselves. Meanwhile, millions who have never heard it once fall into the flames of eternal hell without ever hearing the salvation story. See, we need to reach people for Christ. Somewhere there has to be some individuals who will sacrifice their lives in order to fulfill this great commission. But you know what? Even though there are personnel and there are people who are willing to give up what living in America affords them, even though they're willing to give that up, they can't do it. And you know why they can't do it? Because they don't have funds. They don't have money to do that. But you know, even worse than not having money, they don't have the prayer support. Folks, missions, the work of God here, the work of God in other countries, is a spiritual battle. We are fighting against systems, religious systems, ideologies. We're fighting against apathy. We're fighting against people who just don't want God to mess with them. They want to live their lives and they want everything perfect and beautiful, but they don't want to submit to God in any way. And people will not change. And they have these ideas. They will not change just because you go up and give them the gospel. There is a spiritual part of this where people have to pray, and the more people that pray, the more fervently they pray, and the more holy those people are, the work gets done. Prayer works. It's not broke. It was never broke. It's always worked, but it does not work when people are not holy. when people are not dedicated and given over to God. When somebody prays, God listens. God gave us a commission to go out into all the world. Now, like we were talking this afternoon with the pastor, I like to think. I like to meditate. I like to reflect on things and just see whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, whether I'm doing it right. Maybe I can do it better. Maybe I can end up messing myself up and do it worse. But I don't know. But I need to think through what I'm doing. And you know what? When I sit down and I look at what's going on in churches today, and I look at what's going on in missions, we have just completely messed up this thing altogether, folks. Do you know there is less and less missionaries? I saw one statistic that there are for every 4 missionaries we send out, 5 come back. They retire or they quit or they don't have funds. We're in attrition. We're going down. There's less missionaries. We look at England. England was at one time the number one country in the whole wide world that was sending missionaries out. And what happened? Back in England, in the homeland, the churches started falling down in all kinds of liberalism and all kinds of decay. And eventually, now they don't send in out any missionaries, and missionaries come into England trying to convert them. Those churches are now, their cafes, their libraries, all kinds of things. These churches, they don't have any people anymore. And so they sell the buildings because they can't pay the taxes. You see, all of that happens because there is a decay. It's a spiritual battle. And in that spiritual battle, the people let down their guard. They gave up trying. They gave up fighting. They got tired for them, so they quit. And after one generation, after the other, every generation tried less. Until finally, there are people who just don't even call themselves Christians and they don't even care. When we understand that God gives us a commission, a commission is authority and the wherewithal to accomplish a mission. I'm going to try to be frank because that's why I like to preach. But folks, I don't want to offend anybody, but the mission of God, the work of God, we don't know what it is anymore. We've got so many ministries running around doing all kinds of stuff that we've lost focus. Do you know what the work of God is? Let me tell you. It is where you clearly present the plan of salvation to an unsaved person. Now, you know, one church, they said, well, we don't really have any outreach except once a year. And so they're in a little community there. And so they block off the street and they have a meal for all the people in the community. Great thing. Good PR. It's not the mission. It's not they're not doing their mission. That's not evangelism. You have to stand up and you have to tell people directly that they are sinners and they're going to hell. And unless they submit themselves to Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Savior, you will not go to heaven. And you see, that's what's going on today, that things have taken over and they have gotten the emphasis and they have gotten the importance and people are dedicating their lives to other things rather than the work of God. The real work of God is getting people saved, getting them grounded in a local church so that they will help out. Now, I'm not saying I'm against all the other things, and there's a lot of other things that are going on that's really good. But you cannot give up the principal thing in order to do other things that are secondary, tertiary, and on down. When we look at this, there is the work of God, which is the salvation of souls, and the formation of the church, the body of Christ, where people, once they get saved, they go into a local church. They grow spiritually. They're discipled. That's what the verse in Matthew 28:19, it talks about disciple the nations. We teach them to be Christ-like and to work beside us. See, this is like a bootstrap program. You don't have very many people and you're not able to do very much, but if you do it right, more people will come in and you'll grow and your power to do what you need to do will become greater and greater. I go around to a lot of churches. I think I've been into probably 600, 700 churches in my life. I've seen a lot of churches. And you know what? It really disturbs me We go into churches all over the place, and when we see these churches, you know what's happening? The younger generation is not there. They're just not there. When these people die, that's it. They're going to shut the doors because nobody cares. And I say, why is that? See, that's my problem. I always think, why is that? And that is because we're not doing the job. We're thinking that if we can get other people in to the church, and they'll be in there with us, and everything will be all right. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, what we have done is we have changed the church of Jesus Christ into something else. It's now a social club. Rather than having a rite of passage to enter into the church, in other words, it's something that has to happen before you're a real member of the church, and that thing is you must be born again, now everybody can come in. Everybody can come in and do whatever. Well, some people are crazy. Some people are all kinds of stuff, way wacky. And so they come into the church, and so they bring in all their false beliefs and false religions. And that's what, it just makes a mess. And how does that happen? Because we do not insist that people be saved. It is not a passion. It is not something that we constantly wanting to see. If you look at this, we understand that this is the work of God, people getting saved. But yet churches make their whole ministry without focusing on that. How to get rich, how to solve your problems, how to do this, how to do the other. But none of that stuff works if you're not working on the foundation of salvation. With a saved person, these other counsels, they may work. But without being saved, that doesn't make any difference how wise the counsel is. You always go back to the same root problem. They're unsaved. I was talking with another assistant pastor, and I was telling him, I said, when you start dealing with people in counseling and pastoral counseling, you deal with them, and you they come up with this problem, okay, you solve this problem, and then it comes up with another, and then you solve that one, and then after it you go, and it's just constantly one problem after the other. I said, so that's wrong. You know what the problem is? Is they're not saved. You ask them, and they'll say, oh, well, I got baptized way back so-and-so, and I, I repeated the sinner's prayer, and I got baptized. I said, that doesn't make them saved. What makes them saved is belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Over the years, as I study things, and I have dealings with people, and I say, you know what? People can say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, and not be saved. Because they don't mean in their heart. There's no sincerity there. And you know where the sincerity comes in? The sincerity comes in after they're saved, after they've made that profession of faith, and the seriousness with which they enter their Christian relationship with God, their love relationship with God. People don't love Jesus. People don't want to be like Jesus. I honestly believe salvation is receiving Jesus as your Savior, but also receiving Him as your pattern of life. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Isn't that called holiness, sanctification? When you receive Jesus, when they say that in the Bible, isn't that included? That we're supposed to be Christ-like? And see, people, it's the old fire insurance policy. I want to get out of hell, but don't mess with my life right now. I drink and smoke and carouse with girls and stuff, but don't tell me about any of that stuff. I'm not going to change that. Well, you're really saved? If you're going to make conditions to God, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven, but, I want to live my life the way I want to live it. That's not salvation. In Matthew 16:18, it says, I say unto thee, Jesus says, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Building the work of God, the redeemed, the church, is our mission. Now, let me just be frank with you. If God chose a nation to be His darling, which is Israel, and later gave them up because they disobeyed, Do you think you have such a wonderful place? You think you're on solid ground saying, no, I'm not going to follow God's wishes? No, you don't really have to do all this stuff. You know, there is nobody that's an expert about witnessing. There is nobody. We all come into this thing the same way by a personal experience. And because Christ is alive in our hearts, we go out and tell other people. The fire that we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ is what sells Christianity. Now, we can do nothing, and we'll be like all the other churches out there. They just end up folding because after a couple of generations, there's nobody that's interested. Or we can do very little, and it ends up it's the same thing. God's going to reject us, just like He rejected Israel. If you do not get on board with the mission of God and the work of God, God will set you aside and He'll use somebody else who is obedient. So we look at witnessing, and we look at inviting people to the church and trying to get the gospel message to them. Oh, I can't do those kinds of things. I'm just shy. You go into church and you say, who wants to go out witnessing on soul winning night? No. I'm busy and all this. Okay, well, my favorite football team is going to be playing somebody else, a great rival. And so we're like, okay, well, then we dress up in some weird costume, paint our faces blue or orange or something, and go out there, woo, and act like weirdos. Yeah, we can be fools for our favorite football team. But for Christ, we won't suffer the least little bit of shame. Why is that? We love football more than Christ. We're able to sacrifice more for earthly things than for our Savior. Now, it's like Christ didn't do anything for you, right? He died on the cross for you. He, being sinless, became sin in order to save your soul. Don't you think we owe Him something? We owe Him obedience, dedication. We see the work of God, and we get on board with the work of God, and we get people saved. My problem visiting churches is there's no desire for evangelism. I go and visit churches, and to be truthful with you, we go and drop in churches and sit in them, because I don't know exactly where they are. I look them up on the internet, and if I can't tell what they are, then, I'd go and visit them and just drop in, sit in the back row and find out, get a taste of what's there. And I tell you what, I have some rules. I look on the internet, and whenever I see the pictures, and I see up here, and I see a set of drums and an electric guitar, that's it. I don't need any more information. I'm gone. I'm not going to that church. But you go into these churches and there is no missions program. There's no evangelism program. And the prayer program has been replaced by Awanas. So where's the work of God? I don't really care. I mean, everything else has kind of crowded it all out and it's just kind of gone away. Folks, missions is not accomplishing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to raise up national churches by saved people who get converted from other religions, and they form churches, and they reach out, and they send out missionaries. Well, this isn't working. And so, remember what I said in the morning? God's a genius. So if what God tells you to do is not working, look to your own life, because somewhere you're not following what God said. It doesn't work because you are not obeying what God said. And in this, it's no different. Churches are not reaching the world. And why are they not? Because here, what's at home, we have no interest in it. Where the churches do have missionaries, we got all kinds of programs and everything else under the sun, but we don't have evangelism. The heart of Christianity is that being born again. We get happy when we hear someone who accepts Jesus as their Savior. And we pray for it, and we get sad when we hear somebody stand up and pray for brother, for Mr. So-and-so or somebody that is, we witnessed to him and he rejected the gospel. We pray for that, and we get sad. I pity the young people. I really do. The young people. You know why? Because our generation has so become so weak and powerless that they don't see prayer works. We pray and we pray and we pray and we don't see any answers. Because we're not serious about prayer. Prayer does the work of God. Every time Jesus had a big day, or there was some kind of a contention or some kind of a high point in his ministry, he spent the night in prayer. And you know what we do? We'll say a short prayer before we start and then we go. We'll do our stuff. Prayer is what makes all of this work. And prayer by one person is not enough, as holy as he can. That's not how God wants it, because God wants all of us to receive credit and glory in heaven. So he's not going to answer, even though he's a faithful man of God, he's not going to answer his prayer. He wants a lot of Christians praying for the doors to be open. The Colossians verse I had in the presentation, Paul says, pray that the gospel door will be opened. God wants us to back those who are in the front of the ministries, preaching and teaching and witnessing. And God wants all of us to be concerned about salvation so much, the Great Commission, that we pray these doors open. We pray these people that they have sustenance. We pray for protection. Very quickly, I tell you a story. When I was single still, I had some problem up in the border. I bought something. I bought a computer for a brother, and the company went out of business, but they didn't tell me that they took my money and went out of business. And so the other church, they gave me the money. I went and sent it off, and then we got letters, and there was no computer. And it ended up in the meantime, I went up 3 or 4 times to my car, and then my car, I had problems with the car. I lost the car. I didn't have any more money for another car, and I didn't have money to fix it, so I just... we go public transportation. So I went up 3 times to the border, and that time on a bus. We go up on this bus, and you leave at 6 at night, get there somewhere around 11, 12 in the morning, and the next day. And so somewhere around midnight, they stop, make everybody get off the bus, and they give you a meal. They don't give it to you. You got to go into a little cafe there and somewhere along the road. And so we go in there, and you can buy anything you want. Well, 12 o'clock at night, I won't want to eat anything. I want to sleep. But they won't let you stay on the bus. And so we got down there. And so the bus driver, he was making moves on this waitress. And he was he's talking to her. And I'm like, we're all through. Nobody got anything to eat. He was the only one that got anything to eat. If you bring a whole busload of people in there, they give the bus driver free food. So he got free food. He ate his food. And he's sitting there flirting with this lady. And I'm like, I really, really do not want this. This is ridiculous. If I say something to him, I'll get mad. But and so I was just really frustrated. And so he ended up, this was, I forget what time, it was something ridiculous. It was like 4 in the morning. And so I'm like, oh, I want to go. I don't want to be out here. And I'm half asleep. And, in those days, there wasn't water like it is here. It was all soft drinks with sugar, and I didn't want any of that. And so we finally go back on the bus. And I was just sitting there on the bus, and I was complaining. And I was complaining to the Lord. I said, Lord, I got to preach tomorrow. And it was on a Saturday night. I was coming back. I'm going to be there and get, real early Sunday morning, like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I was going to get there. I said, not even go to my house, go directly to the church. And I was going to preach. And I was like, I was complaining and complaining and complaining. And so all of a sudden, we get into we didn't get away from there, not even a half hour, 20 minutes, and we got into a roadblock. A bunch of jam up traffic. And I just said, oh, Lord, complain some more. And as we came up, there was a concrete truck that had sacks of concrete on it, and a whole stack of concrete fell off the truck. And so these were roads cut through little hills, so there were sheer walls on either side. And when it fell off the truck, the bus swerved. I ran into the side, and so they were pulling a guy out of the right in front of where the stairs were. Well, since I'm so tall and they put those chairs, the seats so close together, I always sat there. That's where I always got, that's where I asked for the bus ticket. So right where I was sitting, they were pulling this guy out by pieces. He got all smashed up. And so, I went by. We finally got through there, and we see him. And I was like, hey, you think about stuff. And I'm going, Lord, you moved that guy to flirt with the girl, waste 20, 30 minutes just so we wouldn't be there. And I'm going, David, you're stupid as all get out, aren't you? Why are you complaining? God saved your life. And I was going, yeah, okay. In good and in bad, I don't care what happens. Praise the Lord. Don't complain. Praise the Lord. But you see, people praying for missionaries. What kind of stuff? I could tell you all kinds of stuff. I went to a Bible study at somebody's house on a street. It was all long street, wide. It was about, 60, 70 feet wide. And so I go we had this Bible study. And so I was knocking on this family's door. It was in like a little apartment building. And they lived right there on the outside. I was knocking on the door. Bunch of people over there, policemen, bodies on the ground, ambulance. And so my one vice I had when I started out was I like to read PC Magazine because I was wanting to learn about computers. And so a lot of times I would go to the store there where they have these magazines. And so I would look at them and so try to decide whether I want to buy it or not. And so I was sitting there looking at it. And so when I looked at my wife, oh, I'm going to be late. I'm 20 minutes late. So I ended up getting 20 minutes late to the place. And when I did, I looked over there, and sure enough, they were pulling a dead body up. They had two or three. And so there's something to do with the syndicate, the labor union for the musicians. And this guy wasn't paying his dues. And so they came by and they paid somebody to shoot him. He opened the door, machine gun. So I asked one of the other neighbors, these people where I was knocking on the door, they came and answered the door. And they said, they're not home. They went on vacation. They didn't tell me. So I looked over, I said, what's going on over there? And he says, he told me this. And he says, yeah. And so I said, when was it? And he says, exactly at 7:00. And that was when I would have been there knocking on the door if God hadn't delayed me. See, those kinds of things happen all the time to missionaries. And do you know how we are protected? Because there's some godly lady, some godly elderly lady, or some godly man, or somebody somewhere was praying for me and didn't even know what was going on. And that's how come I'm here still today. Folks, you see God's hand protecting you. The car breaks down and we're out in the middle of Timbuktu and we're trying to get somewhere. And you know what? A month ago, somebody got a burden from the Lord and gave a special gift to cover that. And so I'm no money and I'm stuck someplace trying to fix a car. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, what am I going to do? And so, I check in the bank and there it is. And I find out later on, I ask, well, what happened? That wasn't supposed to be in there then. And so God laid a burden on somebody's heart. Everything you do as a missionary, as a preacher, it gets force, it gets power when people are praying for you. This is how we get glory in eternity, folks. God will give, and let's face it, it's not what I do. I'm just a pawn. It's what you people do. You pray, you're concerned, you follow missions, you follow what the people that are doing the work, and you support them emotionally, you support them with prayer, finances involved in that, but you support them, and what happens is in eternity, that stuff gets credited to your account. When we look at this, we need to understand that the work of God focuses on people getting saved and then discipled so that they also will do the work of God. If you get away from the gospel, 1 Corinthians 5:3 and 4, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That is what you have to tell people. today we've got all kinds of ministries, and that's not the principal thing. If you can't directly confront something and overturn it, then come in the back door and support everything else so that they get lost in the shuffle. And you see, the problem is in our churches up here, we are not on fire for the Lord. We do not want to give ourselves so that people will come to Christ. We always shuffle it off on somebody else. We must be concerned about people here in Milton, that they come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. When the people here really get on fire and are burdened, that's when the missionaries are also, they get picked up and say, yeah, we want to help the missionaries too. When we see this, we understand that the central thing, the heartbeat of the church, the heartbeat of missions, the heartbeat of the work of God is that being born again. When people get born again, they change and they become like Christ. And they come here, they sit down, they join you. And we grow and we become strong. Our churches are not becoming strong. They're becoming so weak that it's about to give up the life altogether. And why is that? We can talk about the economy. We can talk about all kinds of things and throw blame this way and this and the other way. But folks, the bottom line is, if you do what God says, then things will work out. I don't know how to witness to Jehovah's Witness. I don't think there is anybody who does. They change their beliefs like the winds change from one day to the other. So if you have a Jehovah's Witness and you want to witness to them, pray for them. Pray for them. Folks, there are ways. But you have to be concerned, first of all. You know, if you're concerned, you'll invite people to church. Invite and save people. Throw them on the pastor. Pastor, can you go out after church with us and you know, come to our house and talk to them? There are ways if you're really concerned, even though you don't know how to witness to somebody. And folks, the bottom line is, God gave the pastors and the teachers to the churches for the purpose of equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Pastors don't do the work of the ministry by themselves. They equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. When have you seen a shepherd give birth to a lamb? Doesn't happen. You know what happens? Sheep reproduce sheep. When everybody together, as the body of Christ, when they get concerned about evangelism and they witness to people trying to get people saved, do the math. You take one person a year, and every person here sets his sights on one person a year, that we pray for them for 6 months, and then we start witnessing to them and inviting them, and we go after them. In 1 year, probably the church will double in size. In 2 years, 3 years, you're going to have to get a bigger auditorium because there it won't fit. It's easy. Do the math. We do the work, and God will bless. God, that's how God solves a lot of problems, because we're doing the work. When these problems come in, churches, they shrink up, they have no funds, and there's all kinds of problems that come up. It's because we haven't been witnessing. We haven't been doing what we're supposed to do. That's not a cure-all for everything. You need to teach them doctrine. We need to disciple them. We need to teach them how Jesus Christ is and nurture their love life with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that are involved in the same thing. But the thing is that we're concerned. We're not in apathy. We're not in spiritual apathy. God curses churches in spiritual apathy. God set aside Israel because they refused spiritual apathy. They refused to obey God. And prophet after prophet preached to them and preached to them, and they refused to respond, and they fell in sin, and they fell in sin, and even though they corrected themselves a little bit, over time, God got fed up with them and said, that's enough. Now, I believe God's going to bring Israel back. He's going to use Israel in the future. But the thing is that don't get haughty because we're saved. You're saved, but if you're not obedient and you're not following Christ with all of your heart and you're not doing what God tells you to do as a church, as an individual, God can set you aside. And that's the problem in America today. When we see churches and go into a typical church and listen, you'll never hear the presentation of the gospel. That's sad, folks. Because of all of the stuff that we're doing today, folks, I can guarantee you, there's a bunch of people out there that are preachers, pastors, pastorettes, whatever you want to call them, women pastors, that don't even know the plan of salvation. They're not saved themselves. They are pastors of a group of people that are religious, supposed to be a church, but they themselves do not even know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you can see that from the comments that they make and the things that they write, the positions that they take on things in their doctrine. And they just completely see no reason for Jesus. And that's what we've gotten to. See, that's not salvation. And that's the problem. We lost the focus on the work of God. We're not doing it. We're not doing the Great Commission. We have to go back and get that straightened out. We have to focus on getting people saved here and abroad. If we are not concerned, and you see the concern, basically by the interest, by people kneeling and praying, sacrificing, people giving up their lives and going. If we don't get back to that, God will set America aside. We don't have God's hand of blessing on us anymore. So don't expect good things. Because we do not follow, we do not obey God. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the good patience of these people. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless thy word. Lord, that you would help us to see that you loved people so much. You saw their sinful condition, and their destiny was hell. You love them so much that you came and died on the cross to change that destiny to heaven. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to obey you. We want to further your church. We want to see people saved, both here and around the world. We want to be compliant with thy will. Lord, we ask a blessing in Jesus' holy name.